Lord Jesus, we praise you. Let's just lift up our hands and praise him. You are good, Lord. God, we thank you. Worship went to a new level. Worship and praise with Ra. Yes, Lord, I need Ra to get me motivated, God. Thank you for Ra, Lord. Jesus, just, Lord, we lift up your name. We lift up your name on high. You are worthy. I pray that the words that come out tonight will be powerful and mighty and sharper than any two-edged sword, that you'll meet every need, God, that you'll give us a fresh touch, God, that we can go and change the world. In Jesus' name. I just got to give you a praise. I want to make a proclamation tonight, even though everybody's not here. But like you said, brother, it doesn't matter. It really don't matter. You'll get to say, I was there the night we made that proclamation. We've been going out to prison for how many years? 20 years? I don't know. It's been a long time. But Donna's been going out there for the past, 5 or 6 years and doing Saturday services. Laura goes with her sometimes, and Geneva goes with her sometimes. Joyce used to go. So Joyce has been gone for a while. Anyway, it was always good because everybody that came out there was about, they were there because they wanted to hear the Word of God and they wanted to receive. But here in the last, 6 months, Donna said they started coming in and girls would come in pairing off, you know, and they were in kind of in couples and they were there to disturb. They were there to giggle and laugh and write notes and pass them back and forth. And so it was really getting to where it was getting out of hand. And so Donna asked me, she always asked me to go, but I'll say, I got to work on, you know, I got to get ready for Sunday. That's too much. So she would go, but when I heard that, I thought, no, she needs some help. So went out there and basically took authority over it and said, look, from now on, this isn't going to be called a Bible study because we get 3 hours, 2 hours. We get 2 hours, which is a lot when you go to prison. And so I said, from now on, we're going to call this a revival service. And they're like, and the ones sitting on the front row and are there for the Lord, they're like, yes, yes, this is good. So we made a proclamation that day. The next week, the next month, there was some troublemakers there, but we took authority over it. Well, this time, there was very few troublemakers. And right before it started, it was like, okay, anybody that's here for any other reason besides Jesus, you know what? You better decide to listen or leave right now because it ain't going to be like that no more. And they're like, okay. And so they all pulled out knives and started chasing me around the sanctuary. That's what would have happened on TV, right? But it was good. It was good. And they listened, and the Word of God came forth, and they were touched. And I'm praying for the, I saw that paper wide. Man, guys, you guys are... I got to bring my belt. I got one, in fact, but if I take it off, I might be a plumber. So I can't do it. Anyway, you guys are killing me. Just listen for just for a minute. I can remember having an attention span about that long, believe me. Let me tell you a story. You know what cured me? It was in a Methodist church. Of course, I realized we only had to stay for about an hour. I remember one day I was goofing off with my friend Frank Wilson. We was, you know how you get laughing and you're bouncing and nobody knows what you're doing except mom and dad. Well, everybody probably. And dad says, come here, come here. And they used to close the doors, you know, when they have church. Took me out there in the vestibule and wore my butt out. And when we walked back in, the people were almost clapping. I could tell they were almost applauding. They loved it. They all called Child Protective Agency, and my dad went to prison for 15 years. No. So, praise the Lord. just be glad you weren't in a Methodist church. I am going to start locking the doors, though. I've been talking to Sister Hicks. We're going to start locking the doors, and that's how we're going to solve this problem. Okay, I'll show you. I'll get back on subject. Anyway, I was getting to pray for all these sick folks, and there was words of knowledge that went out when it started, and they, of course, nobody claimed it, but then after we preached, it was me. I was the one that had the sore hip. I was the one that had the sore. I was the one that had arthritis, and so they started claiming that. And I said, anybody wants to dedicate their life to Jesus and get more Jesus and get more anointing, come over to this side. Whoever wants to get filled with the Holy Ghost, come over here. I said, Geneva, you come here and pray with them. Well, they were in a circle up here. Pretty soon I'm hearing tongues and stuff. And these girls were going after God. There was about eight of them. I mean, it was revival was hitting that place. So that proclamation, God took it seriously. Revival is coming to KCI. Revival is at KCIW. So let's stand up and make a proclamation. Okay? And y'all come here. Y'all come here. I want you to face this way and help proclaim this so they'll know. Come here, guys. Come here. I want you to help me make this proclamation. Men of God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Your word is powerful and mighty, God. What we say on earth, what we bind on earth will be bound in the heavenlies, right? And what we loose on earth will be loosed in the heavenlies. We proclaim, just proclaim right now, we proclaim revival. We proclaim revival on these Friday night services, God. From now on, they'll be called revival services, God. Sunday morning will be called revival services. Sunday school and children's church will be called revival services, God. I thank you for signs and wonders and miracles coming. Listen, guys, listen. Did you hear what your brother said? Every time somebody gets prayer at youth group, they get healed. It ain't me. It ain't Donna. It's the youth group's faith. How much more faith do y'all have? Yes. He said, unless you come to me as little children, God has given you the gift of healing. And look at your hands. You can lay hands on sick people and they can recover. Yeah. Just because you're little don't know. You don't have doubt like us. Right. No, really, you don't. I hope you don't. God has called you for a time such as this, young man. Yes. He has, and you just don't know it yet. Yes. God has called you. He wants to structure your life. He wants to get you so on fire and so full of the Holy Spirit, your whole family follows. Yes. I'm not picking on you, man. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. You have a blessed life. He has a generational blessing on his life, don't he? All of y'all do. But he's speaking to you right now particularly, man. Really. So we believe for revival. We don't have to make a long prayer, do we? It's just, y'all can sit down. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I decided to preach out of the paper Bible. I got tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff on my iPad, but I'm just, you know, I thought I got so much going this weekend, I'm just going to save it for Sunday. Praise God. I like doing that, don't you? What'd I do with my glasses? There they are. Go to, it's going to be real short, I promise, Matthew 11. Y'all turn there if you got your Bibles. If not, youth group knows they're supposed to bring their Bibles on Friday. Okay. Praise God. You've got it. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 11, starting at 25. No, 28. We'll make it shorter than that. Autumn, I love her. I love all of you. She just kind of came in like a flower, you know, out of nowhere. It was so neat, so good. You know, y'all are going to like you, brother, bringing in your friend at work. Young people, I know lots of times you're like, and they wouldn't want to go to church. They don't like church. When they see what God's doing and kids are getting healed and people are getting set, when they start seeing demons go, blah, they're going to go, whoa. It's coming, guys. It's coming. How many of y'all ever seen one of them flee? Woo! Man. Hot dog, they got it. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me. I think I like King James. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. What's heavy laden? Has anybody got a different translation? Burden, like just oppressed, depressed. I don't know, it probably means all those things. It just means you're wore out, right? Means you got nothing left. Have you ever felt like that? I think half of America feels like that on any day right now, don't you? I feel like that. But I always get up and go, right? And if you weren't disciplined and you weren't trained up to just keep going even when you didn't feel like it, sometimes it gets you so bad you can't. But, I mean, it's a choice, isn't it? And when you make that choice, it was like when these young people made that choice to come up. Well, they didn't have no choice. But when they made that choice to come up to the altar and worship, did you notice they started getting into it? There's something about making yourself, what is it, what was it David said, I have learned to, what's that word? Jesus. Guess I better go on. Encourage, I've learned to encourage, I learned to strengthen and encourage myself in the Lord. So verse 29, this is Jesus now, this is red letters. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who's the tallest one in this row? Samuel or Ford? Who's the shortest one in this row? Daniel, are you? Come here. And that's not, you're the youngest probably, but come here, Ford. Samuel's taller. Are you taller, Samuel? Well, come here. You can be with your brother. I know you love that. No, you can. Don't do that, man. Come here. Y'all turn and face that way. Right there, right there, right there. You ready? Okay, y'all are two oxen. Your name's Jim Bob, and your name's Joe Bob. You're my favorite oxen. Take one step and show me how long your stride is. Now you take one. No, don't try to keep up. Take a normal step. Okay, now you take a normal step. Okay, come here. Come back here. Now, I'm going to be the yoke. Now, let's walk and y'all take your normal steps. Take your normal steps. If you walk fast, walk fast. You ain't making this work. You're supposed to make this. Thing is when you got a yoke on, when you're yoked with somebody, you know, if you're yoked with somebody that walks about the same size as you, it's not hard. But if you're yoked, if you put two oxen together and one was fast and one was slow, that plow would start, the plow wouldn't go straight. You'd be all over the field. I know because we used to do that when I was a kid. No. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the yokes. But Jesus said, I will yoke you to where things are easy. It's a burden. It's still a burden. But your burden is light. Your burden is easy. It's a burden to walk for the Lord sometimes. I don't mean it's a...
It puts you in a press.
It puts you in a press. That's a good way to say it. It squeezes out of you everything that's not pure, right? And what's left is nectar and Jesus, right? You're going to get prayer tonight, Mary. You're going to get destroyed. I can already tell. You're almost there now, man. Look at that red face. Wow. That's a sure sign. Mary's about to get destroyed. Go to 2 Corinthians. I think this is my last scripture. Praise God. Say praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Help me, Jesus. Well, you got to help me, Jesus, because I didn't mark it. I'm just It's 2 Corinthians. What'd you say, Mike? You might be right. Okay, y'all that got your scripture memorized like good girls and boys, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Where's it at? 2 Corinthians. You know the verse. Where's it at? Is it 9? See, if I had my iPad, this wouldn't happen. 6:14. Well, I was on the right page. Okay, O Corinthians, verse 11, we have spoken openly to you, our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, this is a question he's asking, what fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial or the devil, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So he's saying, what fellowship does light have with darkness? But that verse there, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, I was hearing this during worship, and I went and looked it up, and I thought the Lord spoke to me, what fellowship do not be unequally yoked. Sorry, I'm stumbling all over the place. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelief. I thought, that's just the same as being yoked with an unbeliever. When we have unbelief, we cannot operate in the kingdom of heaven. When you've got unbelief, you'll never pray for the sick and see them healed. I'm not saying you've got to have big faith. It says just takes... Is that me? Dick Rubin. I think we should answer this. Don't you? Hello? Yeah.
Can't get too tied up, but we were talking last night, and you asked if you could use our tapes to teach on. Do whatever you want to do with that. I don't know if I told you that or not, but I don't want to let you hang. Use whatever you can use.
I really appreciate it, brother. Yeah, we'll do that. I want to make sure we had your permission. Well, I know, but not everybody looks at it like that, you know. How you doing, man? You doing all right this evening? Are you home? Are you in a rehab? Or praise God! Yeah, we're all at church tonight. We're praying for you right now. In fact, so I'm so glad you called. You're not my way, brother. We love you. We think a lot of you, and we're gonna see you come minister to us again. We love you, man. Tell Deanne we said hi. Lord bless you, brother. Bye. Wow. What about if it went, run, run? Hey, Dave Hogan, how you doing, brother? Run. Hey, Jerry, how you doing, all right? Yeah, why not? We're family. Tell him what? No, what that was all about is I talked to him this morning. I wanted to make sure it was okay if we use those teaching DVDs to, you know, you're not supposed to show them in a group unless you got permission. And he was calling back to say, yeah, it's fine. He was busy this morning, so I thought that was pretty neat. Well, anyway, where was we at? Not being Don't be unequally yoked with unbelief, right? So we don't want that. So how many of y'all know we're yoked with some of that stuff? How many of you know you spend a lot of time in the world every week? How much time do you spend at work every week? You know, if you're outside the home working, of course, in your case, you get to be in a prayer chamber for 10 or 12 hours a day or 8 hours a day, whatever. But I'm sure Mike's not always he's probably in a spirit of prayer, but things probably aren't always Jesus, 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 Jesus around there. I don't know about where you work. Is it Jesus, Jesus, Jesus?
When I run to the bathroom.
When you go to the bathroom, you get some relief.
Yeah.
Wow. But you keep, you keep on and you'll see results like that.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I first got born again, I carried my Bible in, but I carried it in. It used to have these metal lunch boxes that kind of had a dome on top, the kind you see on, you know, Dobie Gillis show or something. I started putting my living Bible, not New Living Translation. They didn't have that then. But I'd take it in every day, man. I'd read it because I was on the truck with a believer. I mean, I wasn't trying to cover up nothing. But one day the Holy Spirit, I was out there praying and singing worship out in my car before work. And the Holy Spirit, I put my Bible in my lunchbox. He said, what are you putting it in your lunchbox for? I said, well, He said, no, take it in there and lay it on the table. And I didn't get a whole lot of hassle because they all figured I was going to fall back anyway. He's just going through a phase. But this one guy said, I laid the Bible out there, and the only negative thing I heard was this big old boy, Rick Fesden. He was a hoss, man. He weighed probably 350, 375, but he was big. He wasn't fat by any means. He could pull you apart piece by piece. And he said, you can't go drinking with us no more because your church won't let you. I said, no, Rick. I said, have you ever known me to do anything anybody told me? I don't go drink with you anymore because I don't want to blow my high. No, really. And you know, before I started setting that Bible down on the desk, it was blank this and blank that and even God's name in vain and stuff, which I would take a stand to that because I'm like, guys, you say anything you want, but that goes right through me. When I started putting that Bible down, it wasn't a week. I never heard any more language in there. Just the presence of God's Word. Not that's ooky spooky, but that's the power of God's Word. So if you'll take a stand and won't try to hide who you are, you go in there and be God, you be Jesus. I know young people probably don't carry a Bible around as much anymore because you've got it in your, but I would really highly suggest, boy, I'm not saying you won't get messed with, but wow, I wish I'd done that when I was in school because I don't know if you had a lot of people. Is there a lot of people in y'all's school that are like, they don't fit? Like people make fun of them? Or do they not make fun of people no more?
I don't really make fun of
them. Really? What happened? I think it's great, but
Well,
there's probably kids that don't fit in certain groups, right? And they probably don't fit. There's kids that don't fit in any group, right? there was, I look back and I think of all the kids that, you know, I could have ministered to because they were just dying for somebody to sit down with them at lunch or somebody to say hi to them even, you know. And that's, you know, the broken people are the, I think, the easiest ones. You probably would have liked to had somebody. You weren't rebellious, so you were a good girl. I knew that, praise God. So was Sarah. Sarah was in the Bible club, the Bible Lego club, and, you know, all the Bible stuff. Anyway, I'll shut up, but be Jesus. And the Bible says there's only one thing that breaks that yoke of bondage. The enemy's got you yoked with bondage. He did, right? What's the one thing that broke that yoke? The anointing breaks the yoke. What's the anointing? Tangible presence. The oil of anointing. Jesus, you know what Jesus' last name is? Well, it's not Christ, but, well, really, you know what Christ means? It means the anointed one. You got something? What was that? Mary's last name, what, Magdalene or the other one? Jesus' mom? Joseph's wife, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what their last name was. I don't think it ever tells. Joseph the carpenter. I don't even know if all of them had, did they have last names a lot? Simon Bar-Jonah, yeah. Bar-Jesus. There was a Bar-Jesus too, wasn't there? Simon Bar. He did, didn't he? Why? Y'all want to come up here and play a little bit? Y'all mind? We're going to pray, but they're going to play. They're going to play while we pray. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. Because he has anointed you to preach good news. Just stand up and just worship him. Let's get in his presence. And if you need prayer for anything, come get prayer. If you need a fresh anointing, Mary done took off, didn't she? You need a fresh anointing. You guys run off on me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. I need you more, more than words could say. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe. More than my next heartbeat. Oh, yes. More than my next heartbeat. More than anything. Time goes by. By your side,
but I'll never want to go back
to my old life. I need you more than words could say. I need you more.
Mm-hmm.
grace, give me strength to seek your face night and day. With clean hands and a pure heart, oh God, so come, Lord, come, come, Lord, come, for I've opened up my gates. Come, Lord, come, come, Lord, come, for I have prepared a place. Come, Lord, come, come, Lord, come, for I made you a room. Come, Lord, come, come, Lord, come, for I made you to seek your face night and day with clean hands. be a friend of the bridegroom. I want to have oil in my lamp. I want to burn for you. I want to burn for you. I want to be a friend of the bridegroom. I want to have oil in my lamp. I want to burn for you. I want to burn for you, Jesus. I want to be a friend of the bridegroom.
Are burning bright your world.